Young folks, that was really good, wasn't it? Wasn't good because it come from young folks, but it sure is good to hear young folks sing that. I believe they believe it in their heart. I wonder if you do. You believe that no one loves you like Jesus loves you?
Amen.
I trust you realize that because it is a truth.
Amen.
There's no one that loves you like Jesus loves you. Actually, your life will take on a whole new dimension when you realize just how much God does love you.
Amen.
It's easy to say God loves you, but when you begin to live as though He loves you, well, then you know you really believe it in your heart. We're in chapter number 1 of the Gospel of Mark. And for those of you who may be wondering, I haven't abandoned the Ten Commandments. We're going to get back to them. I just felt definitely impressed to talk with you about our enemy today. Last week we talked a little bit about trials and how that our Savior was ever present in the midst of the storm. I want to talk to you about the enemy. Some of the things that the enemy will try to do to discourage you and try to hassle us, rob us of God's blessing in our life. You say, well, I know about the devil. Really? How much you know about it? What do you know about your enemy? What type of strategic resources do you have in place to combat him? We have an occasion in the scripture here where the Lord Jesus goes into the synagogue, which, by the way, is a strange place to find the devil. But don't be deceived, because devils can come at you anywhere at any time.
Amen.
You just be careful. We heard a great Sunday school lesson this morning about our enemy. And I'd like to try to follow that up by just giving you some thoughts that I hope would be thoughts that would be in your heart, you'd carry home with you, and just allow them to find seed and take root and just give you a greater knowledge of who the enemy is. If you're not careful, if I'm not careful, we'll be fighting the wrong battles because we don't know who the enemy is. I read the story of a boxer who was boxing, and he boxed the first round, and this his opponent was beating the daylights out of him. I mean, he was throwing haymaker after haymaker, and he couldn't wait for the round to be over, and it was over, and he went over to the corner, and his manager, you know, he was trying to pep him up, and he said he didn't lay a glove on you. He said, you know, just keep your head up, keep your hands up. He said, you're doing good. And the bell rang, and he said, get in there, champ. And he thought, wow, you know. So he stumbled in, and the second round, the boxer was just, I mean, he was left hook, right jab. Every punch he threw made contact. Guy went down. He got staggered to his feet, boxed a little more, landed another one. Guy went down. This time he was saved by the bell. He drug himself over to the corner, and his manager was over there. You're doing great. You're doing great. He said, he ain't laid a glove on you. And he said, now get in there and fight like you can, champ. And he said, he ain't laid a glove on me? And he said, no, he ain't laid a glove on you. And he said, well, watch that referee. Somebody's beating the daylights out of me. Now, I told you that story not to get a laugh. I told you that story because a lot of people's living their life that way. They have no clue who they're fighting. They think they're fighting the Democrats. Now, listen, I don't want to make this political, but I'm not ashamed of talking about politics. They think they're fighting their neighbor. They think they're fighting the fellow church member that they have a little odds with. Maybe they don't cross their T or dot their I exactly the same way they do. So they think, we're in a battle with one another. There's some folks who don't even realize they're in a battle. People run around saying, I'm so afraid with this present administration. We're going to end up in war. What do you mean end up in war? We've been in war. We're in a spiritual warfare. Listen to me. If you're saved in the grace of God, you should understand what I'm saying to you this morning. There is an enemy out there. And he is after God's people in particular.
Amen, bro.
He's coming after us. He's loaded up, brethren. He has an arsenal. So, well, when you start talking like that, it makes me afraid. I'm not going to preach this message because I want you to be afraid. I want you to be aware. I want you to be alert. I want you to wake up and realize who the enemy is. And fight the good fight of faith. Know something about your enemy. Know some things about it. Here in the scripture, I want you to notice something that the Lord Jesus, in verse number 21 of Mark chapter 1, the Bible says, they, meaning the disciples and Jesus, they went into Capernaum. Straightway on the Sabbath day, he entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. Now watch this. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. I want to talk to you about the reality of devils. I've preached this message here before. It's been a few years, maybe several years back. I normally date my messages, but I don't have the date on this one. But I went back to it this past week, and I began to look at it again, and God just really challenged my heart about the importance of shedding light on the darkness, of uncovering the enemy, of letting people know that you have to be aware. We're not ignorant of the devil's devices. And we have to understand who the enemy is in order to win the fight. You'll never win the fight fighting the wrong fight or the wrong people in the fight. You're not going to win the fight that way. And so we're in a battle. And we have to understand who the enemy is, or in this case, who the enemies are. There is one devil. One devil. The devil, and I don't have time to give you proof text for this, the devil is not omnipresent. He cannot be everywhere at one time. God is omnipresent. Somebody say amen with me. God is omniscient. The devil is not omniscient. Now I'm going to tell you some things about the devil because I want you to know some things about him. But he has devils. They're fallen angels. As far as I can tell, we've been studying the book of the Revelation, and we've talked about fallen angels. They're devils, and there's myriads of them. There's myriads of devils. They're real, brethren. Some people snicker, and they kind of laugh under their breath when they hear someone talk about devils, and they say, oh, I don't believe in devils. You better start believing in some devils. I want to tell you what's going on in our world today. You look around in our world today, and you're like that boxer if you don't think there's devils. There's people getting beat up. There's people getting murdered and all kind of heinous, wicked, terrible things are going on in this world. You put your finger on what the root cause of it is. What's the root cause of it? Say, hey, you know, it's lack of education. I'll get out of here with that. We just need more legislation. If we had more legislation, we'd be in a better society. You can't legislate right and wrong. That's outward stuff. That's outward stuff. The problem's in the heart. The problem's spiritual. The problem is there is an enemy, and that enemy is coming after God's people. That enemy is after mankind. We heard in Sunday school this morning, the enemy, which is Satan, cannot get to God. He cannot defeat God. He has been defeated by God. But he can go after the things that God loves. You know, wickedness always does that. When wickedness can't get to you, it finds something or someone that you love. The underground and the ways of darkness have shown that over and over again. If we can't get to the parents, we'll get to the kids. If we can't get to the parents or the kids, we'll get to some things that they love or some people they love. That's wickedness, brethren. And that's the works of darkness. That is the work of the devil. Amen. I want to give you some biblical. I want you to turn to Acts chapter number 10. I want to talk to you just a little bit about the reality of devils. They're real. Yep. Say, now, preacher, I'm educated, and it's kind of hard for me. This has nothing to do with education. This has nothing to do with legislation. This has nothing to do with religion. This is the truth of God's word. God said there's devils. As a matter of fact, God created the angelic world, and through the rebellion of Lucifer, son of the morning, who has become the father of night, who has become the god of this world, through him and his rebellion, there have been angels that have fallen, and I could spend quite a bit of time talking to you about angels that kept not their first estate, and some of those are in Tartarus, and some of those are in the underworld, and some that will be released from the bottomless pit in the time of the great tribulation period. But there's angels, there's fallen angels that are devils, that are demons, that are doing the work of the devil in our world today. They were doing it in the day that Jesus Christ walked the earth. They're unclean spirits. They're cohorts of the devil. And they do things to people. They may be doing some things to you and you don't even know about it. Are you in Acts chapter number 10? I want you to look down, if you would, in Acts chapter number 10. Look, if you would, in verse number 38. Now, I don't have time to turn to a lot of scripture because I want to finish the message today in a timely fashion, but I do want you to get the truth. Look at verse number 38. And he commanded, chapter 10, verse number 38. It'd help me if I got in the right chapter. He, in chapter 10, verse 38, it says that how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, now watch this, and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. You see that word oppressed? This is the way that the devil comes after people. You know what it is to be oppressed? You know what oppression is? I would hope you would go home and get your Webster's Dictionary, get your Strong's Concordance, and begin to look. You'll find it means put down. It means harassed. It means discouraged. It means to be burdened down. It means to bring about depression. It means to rule over. It means to wear down. It means to break down. The devil just keeps coming and coming and coming and coming and coming. He's not going to quit. So, well, preacher, I just think if I could just get victory over this sin or victory over this sin, then I'll get victory over the devil. Let me tell you something. Jesus Christ never sinned and the devil kept coming. The devil kept coming. You might think, well, I'll just live right and the devil will leave me alone. No, listen, Jesus never sinned, never. And the devil went after him. Don't you think he won't come after you? And he just keeps coming and keeps coming and keeps coming and keeps coming. That's why you have to stay in the book. Amen. Amen. That's why you have to stay on your knees. That's why you have to stay in the house of God and stay with the network of God's people and encourage one another and pray for one another, brethren. It's important. The devil is a great deceiver. The devil is a great divider, and he wants to deceive and divide that he might conquer. Don't you let him do it in your home. Don't you let him do it in your heart now. He's an oppressor. He just keeps coming and he keeps tearing down and he keeps harassing and he keeps bothering. There's people that, you know, they're going through their day and they say, I just feel bothered. Why do you think that's so? So, well, it could be me. Could be. It could be there's some devils just bothering, harassing you. I don't know about that, preacher. Well, study the scripture. I want you to look one more time before we leave this passage. Verse 38, the Bible says that Jesus came and he had the power of the Holy Ghost. He went about doing good and he went about healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Oppression, oppression, putting people down, making people feel worthless. Have you ever seen a day when people are taking their own lives? Young people, middle-aged people, older people, poor people. Rich people, people with little, people with much, taking their life. Why? Oppression. Oppression, burdening down, making people feel worthless, useless. See, that's what the devil does. God never created man that way. Now, the devil and his cohorts makes man feel that way. And so you're going through life and you say, I have no joy, I have no purpose, I have no reason to be. Devils are influencing you. Listen to me now. That's of the devil. That's of the devil. You say, well, I don't want anything to do with the devil. You don't have any choice. You don't have any choice. The devil's going to come after you. The devil's going to come after me. You say, I'm saved. He's still going to come after you. And he can come after you through oppression. I want you to turn in your Bible now back to Acts chapter number 5. Would you turn there? Acts chapter number 5. Again, I could give you other scripture on these things that the devil can do. He can oppress. So I want you to write that down. I want you to store it away in your heart. I want you to know that the devil is just going to keep coming. He's going to oppress you. He's going to make you feel put down. He's going to try to make you feel guilty and shameful and dirty. You know, when I sin, I didn't say if I sin. I said when I sin. I wouldn't admit that, preacher. Well, if I got you up here, you'd have to admit it too. When we sin, we ought to feel dirty. But when you confess your sin and when you ask God to cleanse you of your sin, you ought to feel clean, because the Bible says that he cleanseth us by his blood. 1 John 1:7 and 1 John 1:9 teaches that. But if you confess your sin and you still feel dirty and you still feel guilty and you still feel shameful, I want you to know now, that's not God telling you that. That's not God working in your heart. That's the devil oppressing you, telling you God didn't forgive you. You're not forgiven. Right? I'm telling you what the Bible teaches. The devil wants to keep you down. He wants to rule over you. He wants to oppress you, and he will. He'll make you feel burdened and heavy and worn out and weary and tired. If you're not careful, you'll contemplate quitting. You'll say, I don't know how much more of this I can take. You need to get to a place of refuge, and I mean in a hurry. The devil is oppressing you. You need to claim the blood of Jesus, and we're going to talk about that in a moment. I want to stay on this, the reality of devils. It is unnatural for a Christian not to have joy. Hear me, Christians, this morning. Hear me. I'm talking to Christian people. People that are saved in the grace of God. People that are told to rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. People that God said are blessed, blessed, blessed. Sin forgiven. Place in heaven. Blessed, blessed, brethren. There's a devil that wants to strip all of that away from you and oppress you and make you feel guilty and shameful and useless. The devil makes you feel that way now. That's the devil. The second thing, if you go through life and you find yourself never smiling, oh, I know life has hard places. Listen, the Bible says we can rejoice even when we're in divers temptation, even when there's trials. When there's hard places, there's a time to weep and there's a time to laugh. I get that. But even through the tears in our heart, we can have the joy of the Lord. Amen. Amen. God's people. Amen. God's people, brethren. The second word I want you to notice in Acts chapter number 5, are you there? Look, if you would, in verse 16. Acts 5, verse 16. Again, there's other proof texts I could give you on these combatants that we face from the enemy. Look, if you would, in verse 16 of Acts 5. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about into Jerusalem, bringing sick folks, and them which were, now watch this, vexed. What an interesting word. Vexed with unclean spirits. And they were healed, every one. You go to Webster's 1828 dictionary, you'll find where Webster said the word vexed is a synonym of the word oppressed. Now listen to me, or obsessed, I'm sorry. Obsessed. So the devil can oppress us where he comes against us and he wears us down and he beats us down. But then there's this inside force that he would use, not with possession, obsession. Obsession, I want you to listen to me. It's a fixation that the devil uses, where people are consumed with things. Have you noticed how people are just consumed with things in our culture today? Consumed with things. Music, movies, video games. video games. Obsessed. Obsessed. They just can't break away. There are some people that feel irritable all the time. Why do I feel irritable? Have you ever felt irritable and wonder, I really don't have anything to feel irritable about? Obsessed. Always consumed thinking. Could be with sex. Pornography. I'm not talking about the right, healthy, God-ordained act. I'm talking about filth and smut and trash. It could be with work. Upset. All they think about. Listen, God, listen, the spirit-filled life, I want you to hear your preacher this morning, is a balanced life. And I struggle. I have to work every day. I pray, God, I want to be balanced today. I don't want to get out of balance. You ought to pray every day, God, help me to stay balanced. I want to be balanced. God blesses the balanced life. Amen. You balance honor with humility. You balance zeal with knowledge. God is for balance. But this obsession of the devil wants you to get unbalanced. And he wants your mind to be fixated. He wants you to be consumed. Everything that you do, every thought that you take, all the energy that you have goes toward this obsession. Could be money. Some people can't worship God because they're so consumed with making more money. Listen, I'm for work. You know I'm for work. You ought to make money. Man doesn't work, you ought not eat. Say amen. But this thing of obsession, where you forsake your God, where you forsake your family, where you forsake even your own health for money, it's wrong, brethren. It's wrong, I tell you. It's wrong. And this is the way the devil comes after you. It is. You feel irritable. You feel agitated all the time because you know it's not right. You know there's something out of kilter. You know there's something out of balance in your soul because you're fixated on something. Could be hatred. Could be revenge. So can we get back to the stuff I don't do? See, we're okay as long as it's stuff we don't do. Could be drugs, substance, alcohol. Many folks in here would say, oh, well, keep talking about that. What about revenge? What about an unforgiving spirit? What about hatefulness? What about hatred? Because somebody's done you wrong or somebody has not done what you want them to do, and that's all you think about. How can I get even with them? What can I do to pay them back? Listen to me. That's the devil. Amen. That's the devil. And he wants to consume you and obsess you. So there's oppression. There's oppression. And then there's obsession. Now you be careful about these things. Listen, the Bible teaches this, brethren. These are the devil's tactics. The Bible says that we are not ignorant of the devil's devices. Would you write those words down, look them up, study them, know that the devil, write these verses of scripture down, and know that the devil uses these things against you. And you need to pray and say, God, I want to conquer. I want to be aware. Now, I want to make this very clear before I move on from here. I'm not telling you this so you'll be afraid. I'm not saying this. I'm saying it so you'll be aware. The Bible says, listen, 1 Peter 5, verse 8, be sober, be aware, be vigilant, be alert, wake up. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, he's coming after you. Are you listening? Like a roaring lion. He's just walking to and fro because he wants to devour you. And he will do it. You say, well, I'm saved. I'm a child of God. He's still coming after you. He don't want to let you go. I just told a young man this morning, listen to me now. I'm proud of you, but listen to me now. The devil's not going to let you go that easy. You listening to me? He's not going to let you go that easy. He's going to hold on as long as he can. He's going to try every bullet in his arsenal. He's going to try every weapon he has to keep you in bondage. Don't you let him do it. Don't you let obsession and oppression. And then the third way, look here, go back to Mark chapter 1. Would you go back there, Mark chapter 1? The third tool that the devil has, Mark chapter 1. Did you know the Bible teaches? Now, I want you to listen to me. I'll give you some scripture. Matthew 13, the Bible says that the devil can snatch seed that's been planted. See, you can leave here today and you can have some seed cast The devil will try to snatch, he'll try to catch away that. The devil can put thoughts in your heart. You listening? You listening? And you say, well, I don't want that. There's something about our sinful nature that's kind of bent toward it. Isn't that right, brethren? We have a sin nature. You say, well, I'm saved. Well, that means you have a divine nature and a sin nature, but you still have a sin nature. Am I right, brethren? It's real. This is real. Our enemy's real. I thought about this last night when I was sitting at my desk. It's going to be a long week, isn't it, Lord? I'm going to pull the rock back tomorrow. And we're going to let the sun shine under the rock. We're going to let the light shine on the darkness. The devil doesn't like it when he's exposed. But I quit caring what the devil wanted and what he liked a long time ago. Amen. There was a day that I unknowingly was concerned about what he wanted and what he liked, but unknowingly no more. I'm going to tell the truth on the devil. And I want you to hear me this morning now. He's very real. He's very real. And he's coming after you. And this is some things that happen. You say, oh, the devil ain't got me. Devil's got some already. Body language. Gets in your mind and in your heart. He'll plant seeds in there and he'll say, oh, you're all right, you're all right, you're not all right. And he'll start taking things and he'll start making you think that one way and another way. How do you think church splits start? Listen to me now. You have this group of people over here thinking one way about this group, not even close to being so. The devil does that. Somebody walked by you, they didn't know they walked by you without acknowledging you, and the devil said, that person doesn't like you. That's the devil. The devil does that kind of stuff. You say, preacher, can the devil do that? You need to know about this person I'm talking to you about this morning. Devils, brethren, devils, they're real. They're real. So I've got a handle on it, preacher. I don't need this message. He's got you. He's got you. Any person that does not think that they need to be warned of the devil is ignorant. Not being mean, just being straight. We need to hear who our enemy is. We need to hear what his tactics are, what his devices are, and we need to be reminded nothing's changed. I want you to notice in Mark chapter 1, look if you would, in Mark chapter 1, we go back in verse number 23, and it says, there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. Look down in verse number 32. And at even, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were, and I want you to look at this word, possessed with the devils. You have oppression. You have obsession. The Bible says that people can be possessed with the devil. You ever met anyone possessed with the devil? Sometimes it's very obvious and sometimes it's not. Sometimes the devil or the devils that have entered into a man can make him appear like a minister of righteousness. We heard it in Sunday school this morning. Sometimes they're very cruel and mean and heinous and wicked. And their mouths are filthy and their lifestyles are disgusting. But sometimes they dress like we dress. And they talk like we talk. But they have ulterior motives. And have an agenda. And so that's why I warn you about our enemy this morning. The question has often been asked throughout my ministry of these years is, Pastor, can a devil possess a believer? I don't think so. I don't think so. If you're saved, the Holy Spirit of God lives in you. Amen. You say, well, I'm not living very, very good. Well, I wouldn't question if the Holy Spirit lived in me. I would question if I was saved for the Holy Spirit to move into me. When you get saved, you become a new creature. Doesn't mean, I didn't say a perfect creature now. You become a new creature. Amen. Old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. And so there is possession. There's such thing as unclean spirits of devils possessing people. It's very real. It's very real. I got to tell you something. This past week, in preparation for this message, I just went back and began to read some of the things that are going on just in our country, let alone outside of our country, but in our country. A person that would drown, and I don't want to be too graphic here, a person that would take the lives of their children, I got to tell you something, there's something bad wrong there. Then call 911 and say, come on out here, I've killed my children. I want you to come and give them directions how to get there. It happened in this country. It's more than once. It just keeps happening. People that would just gun people down. I mean, don't even know the people. Nothing. Just drive by. Just shoot. Just walk into places and gun people down. I'm going to tell you something. That's of the devil. I want you to understand this. There's devils that are possessing people. And they're causing people to do these heinous, wicked, terrible things. Possession is real. Devil possession is just as real as devil oppression and devil obsession. The only difference is if you're saved in the grace of God, to God be the glory. A devil cannot possess you. But that doesn't mean he can't oppress and obsess you. So be aware, all right? I want you to notice as we move from the reality of devils to the authority of Jesus, and I'm going to close, give you a few things here to help you now. There's so much more that we could say about devils. They're real, brethren. Please hear me. You may snicker under your breath, or you may think, well, I'm not sure if I believe that. I believe every word of the Bible. Devils are real. They're just as active today, if not more so, than they were in the days of Christ. We're seeing it in our society. We're seeing it in our culture. And we have so many professing, and I want to use that word very loosely, professing Christians that have no clue of the battle we're in, never read their Bible, never are at war, have absolutely zero knowledge of who the enemy is. You need to break out your Bible and read about your enemy. He's real. And I'm not being mean to you. I'm trying to help you. I'm warning you. Please look in the Bible. See what God has said about our enemy. He's real. Now, we have more than one enemy. There is the devils. There's the flesh. There's the world. Read 1 John chapter 2, okay? 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. Read it. These are our enemies. They're working against us. We need God to win these victories, brethren. If you'll notice with me, and I don't want you to miss this, I want you to notice with me in verse number 23, verse 22, back up there, when Jesus went to the synagogue and he began to teach them, notice this, they were astonished at his doctrine. His doctrine is what it's going to take. It's not some church dogma. It's the doctrine of the Scripture. It's the Word of God that's going to give us victory. So we're moving from reality to victory. The reality of devils now to the victory that Jesus can give. Notice what it says here. It says they were astonished at his doctrine. Don't miss this. For he taught them as one that had what? Authority. See, that's what we need to conquer the devils. That's what we need to overcome the enemy. He said it again. Look in verse number 27. The latter part of verse 27. What thing is this, they asked? What new doctrine is this? For with authority, you see, Jesus act and he spoke with authority. We have that authority. Jesus said, all power, that word is authority. All authority in heaven and earth is given unto me. And he said, now I'm giving it unto you. You go. You go out there. Amen. Luke chapter number 10, he said, I'm giving you authority over all the power of the devil. In Jesus' name. Please hear me. We have authority. You don't have to crawl up in a corner somewhere and say, I'm afraid to get out. You know, the devil's out there. Hey, you're a Christian. Jesus lives inside of you. You have a sword that the devil can't withstand. When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness of the devil, he broke out the sword. He said, it is written. Tell the devil what the Bible says, amen. He'll flee. That's right. He began to teach. Verse number 23, there was an unclean spirit. I'm in Mark 1, verse 23. And he cried out, and I want you to notice what he said. I can't tell you how many times as a preacher I've heard this saying. Let us alone. Just stay away from us, preacher. Don't come in here preaching to me, they say. Oh, here comes the judge. Here comes, oh, holier than thou. Here comes the guy that goes down to the church. Here comes the family that thinks they're the cookie cutter family. They think they're so much better than everybody. And I sure hope that nobody in this church thinks they're better than anybody. We're all sinners saved by grace. Amen. We're all sinners saved by grace. There's none of us better than any of us. At the best, at our very best, we're sinners saved by grace. I don't want to talk about our worst. At our very best, I said we're sinners saved by grace. Amen. Everybody in here ought to say amen. If you think you're better than someone else, the devil's got you. Listen to me. That's not God making you feel that way. Are you listening? That's not God making you feel that way. That's the devil. But this crowd that doesn't want to hear preaching, that's the devil. Some people don't want to hear preaching. They don't even know why they don't want to hear preaching. They've got themselves convinced of different reasons why they don't want to hear preaching. But I want to tell you, verse number 24 tells me why they don't want to hear preaching. Let us alone, they say. Let us alone. Don't come in here preaching to us, Jesus. Don't tell us about our sin. Don't tell us what we need to do. We've got this. We know what we need to do. Just let us alone, they say. Do you get that? I get it all the time. Just let us alone. If you're sitting here this morning or you're watching by live stream and you've had that thought in your mind, I want to tell you the devil put it there. Man needs God. Man needs preaching. God has chosen the foolishness of preaching to draw men into God and to get them saved. Listen, without preaching, you won't get saved. You need preaching. And when you hear preaching and when a preacher begins to preach against your sin, you may not be able to say amen, but you ought to say, oh me, and God help me to get that right. Thank God that the Spirit of God still deals with you about your sin. You don't want God to let you alone. Hear me this morning. When God lets the people alone, we begin to see what happens. Men live in darkness and there's all kinds of sin and wickedness. There's all type of violence. Go back to the days of Noah. God left the people alone. And he said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. And God left them alone, and look what happened. I'm afraid God is leaving America alone. God don't leave us alone. God don't leave us to ourselves. God don't take your hand off our church. God don't take your hand off your men. We need preaching. But yet there's a group of people, some even profess to be saved, that say, let us alone. We don't need all that shouting and screaming. It was good enough for the generation before us. It was good enough for the generations before us, brethren. What's happened? I'll tell you what's happened. The devil's gotten in. Listen to me now. Read Matthew 13. The enemy has planted tares among the wheat. And there's a crowd saying, leave us alone. Oh, we might ought to reconsider if we want this preacher. He screams a lot and he seems to be angry. Amen. We're concerned about his health. You're not concerned about his health. You're concerned about your spiritual condition. Oh, I'm not saying folks at Fellowship Baptist Church are that way yet. But if we don't keep our guard up, brethren, you listening? And realize there's an enemy. And he's trying to deceive, depress, divide, destroy. That's his game plan. So just keep your antennas up. What can I do, preacher? I want you to turn to Revelation as I close this morning. Revelation chapter 12. I spoke to our folks Wednesday night about this, and I'm just going to tell you three things. I hope you'll write them down. What are we going to do? There's devils out there. They've been around. They're going to continue to be around. What can we do against devils? We're made a little lower than the angels. They're fallen angels. What can we do against them? Well, I'm glad that God hasn't left us to fend for ourselves, aren't you? I thank God that He has given us an empowerment. He has left us with a suit of armor, and He has indwelled us with His Holy Spirit. Can I ask you a question? Are you full of the Holy Spirit? Do you walk in the Spirit? Do you live in the Spirit? Have you put on the whole armor of God? This morning when you got up, did you unsuit yourself in the flesh and put on the whole armor of God? Did you yield yourself? Did you submit yourself to God? See, some people are trying to resist the devil that have never submitted themselves to God. Read James 4:7 again. It says, first of all, submit yourself unto God, then resist the devil. You'll never be able to resist him in the energy of your own flesh. Is that right, Christians? So I just want to help you here, okay? Number one, be filled with the Spirit. Number two, you're in Revelation chapter 12. Look down, if you would, in chapter 12 of the book of the Revelation. I want you to look in verse number 11. Now, I realize this is talking about tribulation saints, but I believe that the saints of God can overcome the same way. The saints of God in yesteryear, the saints of God in this time, and the saints of God moving forward that will be saved in the tribulation period, we'll be going to be raptured out. But it says here in verse number 11, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. How can you overcome by the blood of the Lamb? I want you to think about this. So you want to overcome. This is talking about the dragon. This is talking about the devils. Listen to me now. How can you overcome? How can you be an overcomer? How do we overcome by the blood of the Lamb? Some people say, well, I'm just going to plead the blood. Well, wait a minute now. Wait a minute. I believe you ought to plead the blood. But the blood was there for a purpose. The blood is there for conquering, but before you'll ever conquer through the blood, what you've got to do? Cleansing. Cleansing. If I have unconfessed sin in my life, listen to me now. If you have unconfessed, if you have knowing unconfessed sin in your life, the Bible says in Psalm 66, the Lord's not going to regard your prayer. He's not. But if you will use what God has given the blood for, which is for cleansing, confess your sin, stay on short accounts with God. Remember this? Right? That's how you overcome. Use the blood for what it's there for. Cleansing. That's how you overcome. Go to God and say, God, I've sinned against you and I'm sorry. I'm one of your own. I've let you down. And I'm asking you to forgive me and to cleanse me. Read 1 John 1:7, 1 John 1:9. It's there, brethren. You don't have to go through life full of sin and the burden, guilt, and shame of sin. God has given the blood for the forgiveness of sin. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Right? That's how you overcome. Look again at verse number 11. That's how you overcome by the blood of the Lamb. Use the blood for what it's there for. Yeah. Cleansing. Cleansing. Can a saved person be defeated by the devil? Yes. Come on, he's defeated you. Might have been yesterday. But he shouldn't be. Paul said in Romans 8, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. Through cleansing, we can conquer. Confess your sins. Is there sin in your heart? Is there known unconfessed sin? You're not going to win the fight. You're going down. It's just a matter of time. You're being weakened little by little. I know what I speak of. Been there. Liable to be there again. Don't want to be. But I must utilize the blood. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb. Number two, what does it say? By the word of their testimony. You can stand to your feet. Here's three ways that we can have victory. All right? Victory. There's the reality of devils. There's victory in Jesus, and He gives us the authority. Listen, the blood is there. We have access into God's presence by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's Romans 5:2. All right? And so we can have victory, but we must, number one, be filled with the Spirit. How do you get filled with the Spirit? Well, you confess your sin, you ask God to fill you, and God will fill you with His Holy Spirit. Number two, you confess your sin, put it under the blood. Don't drag it back out now. I'm going to tell you what the devil will do. You confess your sin, you try to move forward, the devil will say, hey, come back here. This is not over. Yes, it is. Hey, man. Am I right, Christians? You Christians ought to know what I'm talking to you about this morning. That's what the devil will do. You'll confess your sin. You'll try to go on with your life. And the devil say, hey, wait, this is not over. This is not over. Yeah, it is too. Amen. When I confess my sin before God, God said, I am forgiven. I'm moving on. If you stay behind in that, after you done confessed it and God's done forgiven, that's you. That's not God. And then the third thing, by the word of their testimony, you remind the devil whose you are. Is that right? If you're saved, I belong to Jesus. Amen. That's right. I belong to Jesus. You know, the one that defeated you. He lives in me. He's my master now. That's the word of your testimony. I don't belong to you anymore. You're a loser. He defeated you. As a matter of fact, you're going to hell. You listening? Remind the devil not only just who you are, remind him who he is. You're a loser. You're going to hell one day. But more importantly, remind him who Jesus is.